is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a very special Cyber Monday, Word of Mom Radio, here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We don't. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And we are doing this show because with everything going on right now and people across the country now having to set up home offices, for those of you who already have your home office and for those, more importantly, for those of you just creating them, we are sharing some cybersecurity information with Chelsea Brown. Chelsea Brown is a cybersecurity professional for the modern business. She helps businesses and families protect themselves from hackers with tools that make sense for their lives. She's got a bachelor's degree in cybersecurity, is cybersecurity certified by the world's leading tech association, and was named a woman changing the tech world today in 2019. Chelsea has been helping businesses protect themselves from hackers for almost 10 years with her company, Digital Mom Talk. So, Chelsea, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Dori.
It's exciting to have you. And, you know, really during very strange times, I mean, as we are all now with this virus, doing what we need to do in staying home and creating our home offices, please let people know. I mean, you know, normally I'll say share your journey, how you got here, and I want you to. But let's get into what they can do protecting themselves, especially at home, with their small businesses.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I got my small start with in cybersecurity because somebody hacked into my business when I first started it through a phishing scam. And so that's where I got my degree and stuff in. So with being a small business, we think that we're not a target, we're not on hackers' radar. But I hadn't even been making any money yet, and I was a target, and that was almost 10 years ago. So for a lot of businesses today, with everything going remote, we're getting double slammed with hacking attacks because not only is everything going remote, but it's not secure in most cases. And so we're seeing a huge increase in the hackers just targeting small businesses and individuals and even school kids, because they know if they can find a hole, they can get into a business and get valuable information that you and I don't even think about that can be used to do so much damage. So it's so important now more than ever.
What do small business owners need to be aware of when it comes to cybersecurity?
The biggest thing that we need to be aware of is that 90% of all cyber attacks, like the data breaches you see on the news or emails getting taken over or identity theft, happen because of what we call human error. So that's like we click on a link, whether it's an advertisement we see on Facebook or something that comes in our email or even a text message nowadays will actually open us up to so many vulnerabilities. And we've seen it recently just before the coronavirus happened with the CEO of Amazon. His phone was hacked for a year through a WhatsApp video that was sent legitimately through his friend. Somebody just attached an extra little file there and it totally compromised his phone. So for most individuals, that's what we're looking at, is protecting ourselves from clicking on links and suspicious activity and knowing the lingo hackers use to catch us. Because right now, they're using that lingo in full force with everything associated with the coronavirus. And so for us, protecting ourselves is knowing how they talk to us, because once they're in our systems, it's really hard to get them out, especially if you're a home-based business and you're not got your IT guy sitting there, or you don't have a full IT department that can come in and say, hey, you need to turn off your computer right now. Somebody's in there. So that's what we're looking at with protecting ourselves and kind of how impactful it is and don't really think about what happens and how they get into it.
Common scams that hackers use to target small businesses.
The common scams hackers will use are things that they know we will fall for. So, for example, if you're using like social media to reach out to your audience and gain audience because you're selling a product, hackers will use legitimate emails and text communications that look like they're collaborations. It'll be like an influencer reaching out and saying, hey, I want to work with your brand. Or, hey, I want to offer you this product. Or, hey, if you pay us X amount of dollars, we will grow your accounts. Now, if you're not doing social media, the other ways they'll target you will be through actual fake news articles right now. Like the coronavirus actually has a legitimate site through the world organizations to track it. Hackers actually broke into that website and put code on it that actually sent out thousands of emails with ransomware and stuff attached to the files that weren't flagged because people were looking for information about the coronavirus. So when we're looking at our businesses and how a hacker is going to attack us, we have to look at what common things we're looking for when it comes to that. Are our employees listed? Do we have like the actual payment methods that we use to target ourselves, like our bank accounts, PayPal, Stripe, things like that, listed in public places? Because hackers will use that information to send us emails. And so we want to be checking those kinds of communications, especially when you're getting phone calls, because hackers will use phone calls to say things like, hey, we've noticed fraudulent charges on your account. Can you please verify your account with us and gather information that way? Or they'll pose as one of the big popular ones to do with the older community and more mature ones that didn't grow up with technology is, this is Amazon calling or this is Google calling. We have a fraudulent purchase and we're wanting to verify, or we saw that your computer had a hack. Those are ways that hackers are targeting people right now, and specifically they're using the coronavirus. So they will advertise that, hey, we're a volunteer company and we need masks, or we're a volunteer and we're looking for produce or volunteers to help us with X, Y, and Z, or we're looking for just information. And that's how hackers will get us, particularly right now, but throughout all of our time, even after this virus has passed, they're going to be targeting your business functions and things like that. So as a business owner, it's very important to look at how a hacker is going to contact your business and know the difference between a hacker communication and legitimate communication.
Wow. And that's the kind of the crux of the issue, though, is how to tell that difference. You know,
yes,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that I can give advice on how to recognize that, because there are some common denalities that throughout all the hacks that they use, you'll see things like, if you're going for a website and you're looking for like a great volunteer object to happen, really pay attention to the website spelling, pay attention to, you know, their response time. So like if you can go on your computer and your phone, pay attention to if the websites look different, or paying attention to the actual addresses. That's a great way to do it. And looking at like your emails, they'll all have spelling mistakes, or instead of saying help@paypalsupport.com, it will say something like paypal.support.edu or thousands of numbers afterwards in those emails. So we want to be checking on those and making sure, especially as we're working at home, that we're not clicking on links before we like copy and paste those into a document to verify what the link is, instead of just going to that site, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And it's why it's, you know, people, my friends will send me things in Messenger and I'll message them and say, you know what, if you want to share it to me, send me a text or let me know that you're doing something, because I don't have they have my number and it's not online, or I try to keep it off of line and stuff. I don't care who it is. And even my kids will tell me, hey, mom, I just sent you something in Messenger. Like they'll give me a call, because I'm not going to even open it up from them, because this is how people do this. And especially now, people are sending these links, you know, with information about the coronavirus and this and that. And it's like, do not do this. It's how they, am I wrong? Isn't this how hackers,
no, you're,
when you're online, grab your stuff?
You're not wrong. That is definitely how they do it. And especially if you're using social media. People don't know this, but social media has allowed us to increase cybercrime over 300% in the last 5 years. So sending links and things like that, especially through messenger apps and stuff, allows hackers to get into your social media. And we think, oh, that's not a big deal. But when you go into the privacy settings, I have shown people hundreds of thousands of times that Facebook, for example, actually allows your profile, your phone number, your associates to be searchable by search engines. And as a hacker, what I do with that information is I will take that to, we call it a data broker site. Things like PeopleLooker, catfish sites, dating verification sites, and they will have information on there that even you didn't want out there. Things like relatives that maybe you haven't spoken to in years, or your kids that aren't quite at census age yet, where they aren't logged on the census. And we can take that information and build a really good case to get somebody to fall for a scam, like you've seen in the past, those phone calls that they give to individuals saying, hey, your cousin or whoever is over the border and they're in Mexico and they're calling you. Do you want to accept this call? That's usually a hacker, and that's how they get that information. So you're totally right that just sending links through social media and sending things, especially if it's not verified, is a perfect way for a hacker to take over your social media account and really get that information that you wouldn't even think was possible for them to use to target you.
How do entrepreneurs secure their online businesses, especially now going from, you know, a brick and mortar office to their home?
The first thing that we want to do is educate and strengthen our front line of defense, which is your employees. So before you even send them home, you want to have, I call it a hacker prevention plan or a hacker response plan. But that's really what you want them to do, is you want them to know who to contact if their devices are secure, and then you want to educate them on how to secure their actual workstations at home, but also their Wi-Fi connections, because if they have those two connections secure, they can establish a secure access to your business, which is kind of like in a home, instead of leaving your doors unlocked, you know, we put maybe one lock on the doorknob and then we add like four or five deadbolts, and nowadays we've got video cameras and stuff. The more secure we can make our employees and their environments that they're working at, especially from home, the safer our businesses are going to be. And in fact, most businesses right now that have suffered hacks is because they allowed an employee who had a virus on their computer or didn't have a secure internet access their businesses, and a hacker got into that and just demolished it. So that, as a business, is what we're wanting to look for, is making sure that our employees are educated, they're using secure devices and secure connections, and we're really watching those remote connections, especially right now, because if we're not, that's how a hacker is going to target us, and it's going to be crippling to our businesses because we won't notice it for 6 months to a year in some cases.
Wow, that's amazing. 6 months to a year. So what are some of the ways online? What are the things to be looking for? I mean, you know, things pop up for malware and all of these things. What happens when that happens?
When we see these pop-ups, that's usually two indications of something like we've either got an adware problem or maybe we've got incorrect search terms, is what I tell people. Because what we search for in our non-work habits actually transfers into our work environments. So when we see these kinds of things, we want to make sure that we're verifying the sources and making sure that we've got pop-up blockers on. We want to make sure that we're scanning our systems for malware and devices. And we also want to be paying attention to how we exit out of them. I have some devices that I teach my employees to use, which is if they're working and they're working on sensitive stuff, we put it in a virtual computer so that if there's a virus or something that's contaminated, we can wipe that computer clean and just restore it from a backup. And that's how you can do that in your own business. And most virtual machines at this time, and even softwares, are at a great discount or free for a period of time, because everybody knows that we are looking to help the communities that are trying to work remote and not lose their employees. So definitely pay attention to that, and always be leery of something that offers like a free anything. If it's a free iPhone, a free iPad, free antivirus, free updates. Those kinds of things are great for businesses to get their tools out there, but hackers use them on a new level to where they will actually create malware from ads, and they'll embed it as you click on the ad, even if you accidentally open it. So paying attention to those things, disabling pop-ups, using, we call them incognito browser sessions, is a really big help, especially if you're remoting in, because that information isn't logged. And that's a great way to make sure that your connection is a little bit more secure if you're using a web browser to log into your company, because then if a hacker gets access to your computer, they shouldn't be able to see that web history, because it's usually immediately erased, or it's not as easy to read because you have to run it through another program to read it. So using those kinds of things to protect our connections and teach our employees to be aware of, like, spelling errors, know exactly who to contact and what the phone number and the email address is for the IT department to contact them and how they're going to reach out, and using those forms of communication is so important, and making sure that everything is as private as possible is really important, because I've seen even companies that are switching over to use things like Slack and stuff, Zoom links are actually getting hacked because hackers have been using those to listen in on meetings and stuff. So making sure that they have things like a password and that everybody's entering the password in, and that we're not all allowed to share our screens, or that we're not publicly sharing those links with people who do not need them, is really important and a really good way to make sure that our employees are aware that this is how we're going to keep stuff secure. And making sure that at every meeting you verify with the employees, okay, make sure everybody entered in the passcode, make sure nobody shared that, and talking to them about it, because if we can track them to a data breach, you have legal cause to fire that employee right now. And that's something that no one wants to deal with. But as employees, it's a great wake-up call to realize that not only could you be jobless, but it could make it really hard for you to get a job in the future because we can trace that back to you. And so we want to make sure that that's how we're educating our employees and teaching them how to do these kinds of things.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break and just hear from our sponsors. We will be back in just a moment on Word of Mom Radio.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans. Take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from StadiumBags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at StadiumBags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we are back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Chelsea Brown about cybersecurity in our homes. Now that more and more people are transitioning to working from home, and I actually want to talk to you now about what's happening with our kids being home. how do we keep track of the technology they are using with them now home?
One of the great things about being at home with our kids is that we are able to see what they're doing, whether it's, you know, in Google Classroom or Zoom meetings or things like that. And I know monitoring our kids' technology gets really overwhelming for parents because we're also looking for other ways to entertain and keep our kids on task and stay at home without going super crazy. So the first thing that I tell parents is the router is the most powerful tool in your home when it comes to monitoring your kids. And if you're not familiar with what a router is, it's the device that you plug into the wall to get your home Wi-Fi. So monitoring that is the easiest way you can monitor your kids, and making sure that if you're using technology in your schools and in your homes to educate your kids, make it a public affair and make it kind of a fun activity. One of the things that my kids love to do with my teenagers is they love it when my teenagers broadcast their projects onto like our television, and they can watch them make a website or design a video or research a report, because it allows my younger kids to kind of feel like a big kid and my big kids feel super important, even if they're a little annoyed, that they can actually play a part in being this role model. So those are some of the ways that we can monitor our kids' tech without feeling super overwhelmed and super crazy.
I have to ask you, and how does a router let you know? How do you actually look at your router to see what your kids are doing?
One of the easiest things to do is if you, we call it logging into your router. So you enter in a series of numbers in your web URL. Your router logs every website, incognito or not, and every action that your internet has. So you'll be able to see what devices are online if you have like neighborhood kids there. You'll also be able to see like your kids' incognito browsing history if they're looking for it. You can actually see it there. It'll say the web addresses of places that they've been. You'll also be able to do things like filtering, which is where you can actually, so instead of just putting something like Norton Security on or Bark Technologies or Quisudo or anything like that to monitor your kids, you can do it through the router, and you can allow them to, like, I have parents who don't want their kids on social media during certain times, so I've shown them how to go into their routers and enter in the social media websites, and they'll put that on the block list. And so their kids during their homework hours cannot access those even if they try to log into the computer. And they can do that through their cell phones as well. So the router really allows you to do things. You can also, one of my favorite things to do is I have, like, YouTube is disabled on all of our devices except for my husband's and our main TV, because I'm the one that has the passcodes to those. So you can do those kinds of things to where you allow, like, just certain devices to have it. I also do it to separate, like, my work devices from my kids' devices. So my kids' Wi-Fi shuts off from 9 until 9 o'clock in the morning and from bedtime. So they can't even access it until a certain time of day. But my devices have constant web connectivity and they don't have as strict of filters. So that's just a few of the things you can do with your router. And it doesn't matter what kind of router you have. This is possible on every single router, and most parents don't know that they can do that. So it's a really great tool to get familiar with and really learn how to use so that we're not stressing. And if you have a certain kind of router, a lot of the newer ones have apps on your phone. So you can be like quarantined in Ohio and have your kids in California, and you can turn off their Wi-Fi from Ohio and they have to call you to access it. Those are the kinds of things that you can do with any router, but some of the newer ones are making apps so that you can do it. But you can log into your home router from really anywhere as long as you have a secure connection. That's why it's a great tool for monitoring your kids and really kind of being that second set of eyes, even if you're busy with work and doing other things.
My jaw's hanging open over here. I'm serious. I had no idea that you could actually use your router to turn things off at a specific time. I think it's brilliant, and I think parents need to know this, because kids wind up with that blue light on, and they should be resting, and they're up in the middle of the night doing things. I think it's amazing. With all that being said, how do we help our kids learn to recognize the hackers while they're online?
One of the things that we've done with my kids is I show them when I find something. So if I get a very suspicious email, I will bring in my teenagers and I'll say, hey, come here. We're going to have a little mom powwow because mom's been hacked. And they always look at me like, okay, what's going on? And then we just have a conversation by showing them, and I show them, say, look, this looks like it's from PayPal, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, it totally looks legit. And so then we copy the link and paste it, and we'll do like a mini presentation on our TV sometimes so they can all see it. And they'll look at it, and they'll be like, that's not PayPal's link. And I'll say, see, this is what a hacking attack looks like. Or I'll open up. They're so into taking these quizzes on social media, and I've posted it on my sites before where I'm like, hey, let's look at these filters and stuff, and let's go into it. And then it'll pull up and it'll say, hey, we want access to all of this information. And it'll access things like their exact location, their contacts, their email contacts and stuff, and showing them that, hey, now you have a virus on your phone and you didn't even know that because you were just taking this cute little quiz. Or teaching them how to answer questions correctly and notifying the difference between a security question and a safe question. Things like, if they're using, for example, to get into their school accounts and recover their passwords, and one of their things is, who's my best friend, posting on social media, oh, look, I'm with my best friends all the time, allows somebody to look at who their best friends are and be able to reset their password without them ever knowing. And they won't have those kinds of things. So that's the kind of stuff that we do in my home with my kids, to kind of talk to them and educate them about this is how we recognize it, and teaching them how to correctly fill out like certain forms. I remember back in my senior year of high school, right about the time the iPads were coming out and Facebook had started allowing the ads, we started getting tons of chain emails and chain messages about, here's a link to fill out to get a free iPad. And turns out all of us got identity theft from filling those things out. So teaching our kids to know and how to verify the validity of something like that allows them to kind of have this more common sense of, oh, because our kids have this idea that they know there's danger out there and they understand that it exists, but there's a distinct difference between recognizing it online and in person. Because when you and I grew up, I remember my mom was so adamant about, if you need directions and you're alone and you're lost, don't go to a man, you go to a woman. You don't ask the strangers, you go to somebody that you feel comfortable with, place, and you don't take candy from them, and you don't go to the van with the dog or things like that. But our kids aren't taught those same skills in the same responsibility and connection today, because they associate things like, they don't understand what a digital stranger is. They don't understand that, because for them, they meet people online all the time and that's their world. And so we want to teach them that maybe a friend of a friend isn't always necessarily their friend. And if you have somebody in their 20s or 30s looking into you, they're probably not the person you think they are. Or that using the really hot guy in school, if you haven't walked up to him and talked to him and actually gotten him to enter the information in your phone, that's a great way to get bullied and fall for a catfishing scam. So just teaching our kids these things, teaching them how to recognize what's a safe thing to say online, what's not a safe thing to say online, and how to recover from these kinds of responses is so important. Because for a lot of kids today, especially the seniors in this time, they need to be extra careful during this isolation, because companies will be looking at their social media profiles to get them a job, to get college entrances and things like that. So we want to be teaching our kids how to do what I call burying bad content, which is those inappropriate things or mistakes you may have made that maybe aren't super bad, like viral worthy, but maybe they're not a good reflection on us. Like if we're maybe talking bad about a professor or a teacher, or maybe complaining about our job or complaining about our parents because we're isolated and they're limiting our Wi-Fi time. Those kinds of things are okay to complain about, but maybe not necessarily something we put on social media to reflect badly on us. And so teaching them how to recover from those things is important, especially when they're looking at, what am I doing? How am I supposed to protect myself from this? And all of those variables in between.
How do we protect our families while they're remotely learning with all of the different school things that are going on? How, as parents, can we step in?
One of the greatest things that I've ever learned from my teenagers is having them teach me how to be safe. If my kids can teach me how to be safe, then I have a very good indication of how much more they need to learn and what they do and do not understand. So as parents, I think it would be a great idea to sit down and have a conversation and just ask your kid if they're, you know, like asking you for a new app or asking you for the latest and greatest toy or mechanical device or even just on their assignment. Ask them the question and say, hey, I had somebody send me this thing that was hacked, or show them an example for you and then ask them and say, how could I have better protected myself? And then do the hardest thing that we can do as a parent, which is shut your mouth, hold your hand over it really hard, and try not to respond, and listen intently, even if you have to write notes about what they say, because that is what will allow our kids to do it. Then if they say, you know what, Mom, I really don't know, then you can say, well, why don't you look it up, and let's do a little class on it, just so that your siblings can know. And if you have older teenagers that are, you know, like sophomore, junior, senior, getting ready to leave the house, now is a great time to sit down and ask them and say, you know, I'm concerned about these kids coming up or your friends. How would I approach them? What should we do? And have them help you come up with this idea and this understanding. Because if they can learn how to put on passwords, how to put on internet filters, how to actually use what we call parental controls now, but they're really just added security measures, for them, it's going to be so much more beneficial because then they'll start policing them. One of the things that I love to do with my teenagers is we call it a trust circle. And so they have four or five friends that will notify them of anything bad that they may be posting online and vice versa. And then they get together as friends and they'll put together 10 posts each that they can post about each other to build up that reputation and bury anything bad if we can't delete it, because we all know once it's online, it's permanent. So using that to do while they're remote learning and just involving them in this extra process and talk about, you know, like how to make sure that their Google Classrooms are secure, how to make sure that they're paying attention on social media, because right now we're all looking for different ways to, you know, do home exercise and PE and fill out job resumes. It's a great thing to do. Another thing that you can do with your kids that my teenagers love is when we do, I call it the mom search. We look at my profile online. We'll do a Google search. We'll go to people lookup sites. And we'll see what we can find about me, what dirty trash is out there. That's what my kids love to do. They love to see if they can find me screwing up. And then we switch, and I'll say, okay, now it's your turn. Let's see what you can find about you. And we talk about those kinds of things. Because sometimes it's not about monitoring our kids. It's about teaching them how to monitor themselves so that they are at this added level of responsibility. Because you and I both know that in some cases, if we take away the phone and we're constantly looking at our kids and being the disciplinarian figure, first of all, we get exhausted. And second of all, we're not going to catch everything our kids do because they have this wonderful opportunity to go to somebody else's device and use that to create their own social media profile that you and I have no idea about or things like that. So if we can get them to turn on this internal filter and be educated in security, it's going to go so much better for us because then all we have to do is maintain the environment, you know, check our parental controls, look at what's going on, make sure that we're semi in the room, filtering what they're doing, keeping an eye on them, that kind of thing, and setting just basic boundaries that allow us to do our job as a parent better because we're not constantly being the dictator with the microscope, you know, the lawnmower parent, the helicopter parent, making sure that our kids are doing everything they're supposed to do to look good online. Instead, we can make it so that they're choosing that, and teaching them how to do that is the best way that we can watch and protect our kids when they're online, because eventually the parental controls are going to come off. And when they do, that's when we're really concerned and worried because that's when they're going to make their big mistakes, college, and when they're not under our roof. So before they get there, we want to make sure that they're prepared so that when they go out into the real world, they can call us up on a private phone conversation and say, Mom, my boss is terrible. I hate her. What can I do to, like, make her stop doing this instead of going to a social media forum anonymously and broadcasting about their boss? That can come back to haunt them later because their boss can say, hey, I know that was you because you're the only person that would talk to me like that, and that's your language because of this email. It makes it so much easier for our kids to learn those things before they go to the real world.
On that note, so the perfect way to end this conversation. Chelsea, please let everyone know how they can find you.
So I am at digitalmomtalk.com on our website or any social media platforms at Digital Mom Talk. We've made it really easy to find. And if you have questions or you want to do a brief consultation, or I do mini workshops right now, that's the best place to find us, is on our website at www.digitalmomtalk.com.
What would you like to leave our listeners with as we close out?
My last piece of advice for you guys would to be, start where you're at and don't be overwhelmed that you have to all of a sudden add all of this stuff in. Just start with your at, start with what you know, and add it one step at a time so you're not overwhelmed.
I am putting that in a tweet right now. Chelsea, I'm so glad that you took the time to share with us. As we are, you know, keeping our distance socially, we don't have to keep our knowledge wrapped up. We don't have to distance ourselves emotionally from the people that are out there. And that's why we are here on Word of Mom Radio, again, sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And you have given us such great information. I really thank you so much for being with us. So for all of you tuning in, thank you so much for being here with us on Word of Mom Radio. We are so happy to be sharing our time with you. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
Sure.